Howdy, folks. This is Dr. Matt Grishup, director of the Grimm Family Center for Organic Production and Research at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and you're joining us for Organic Chat. So, Jill, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do here on the farm?
Sure. My name's Jill Caggiano. I'm the market coordinator for the farm overall. So that means I also sell the produce for the organic farm.
Awesome. So how long have you been working with Cal Poly in this capacity?
I have been here a little over 5 years.
Okay, fantastic. So obviously, I mean, you work across the conventional vegetables we grow here, the conventional tree fruit, and I don't think we have any nuts, do we? We've got some trees in the ground.
We have nuts that have gone in, but they are not producing.
Not producing yet. We just have olives though, right?
An olive harvest, yeah. And we have had our first olive oil, Cal Poly olive oil pressed.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that part. That's awesome. And then, of course, on the organic side, it's all produce, and you've been heavily involved with that. So maybe you could tell us a little more about that. So what does that entail exactly? I mean, how do you engage with the students? How do you engage with the produce? Where does it go? If someone is listening and wants to buy it, where would they go to get it?
Yeah. So I would say that student classes, teaching, and research is mostly what drives what we grow, what we decide to plant out in the organic farm. We do make some decisions by popularity. The cherry tomatoes are huge every year coming out of the organic farm, so those go in no matter what. The organic winter squash, also a huge crop for us, so same thing. But otherwise, we make decisions just based on whatever needs to be taught or whatever research is going on. So my job is just to figure out how to sell it afterwards. And we wholesale to a lot of local grocery stores, restaurants. We sell to a couple of markets on campus, the Cal Poly Meats store and village market, and then we take it to the two farmers markets, the downtown Slo farmers market and the Madonna farmers market on Saturdays.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if folks are interested, they can always come and find some Cal Poly produce and other products at those venues.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. That's great. So, you know, moving into more organics, what's your history with organic agriculture prior to the farm?
So prior to the farm, neither of my degrees are in agriculture. I randomly took a job with an organic outfit on the East Coast as a temporary job kind of thing with crew on an organic farm, and I just loved it. And that was kind of the start. I think once I wasn't working at a desk all day, every day anymore, I was like, I can't go back. So I started in organics. All three, actually, of the farms I crewed on were organic. So it's definitely where my heart is in terms of produce and farming. And coming here, my job is obviously a lot less crew based. I don't do a ton of the labor, or probably anymore. But it is interesting to see like how the farm here grows, what they grow, you know, as opposed to the other farms that I worked for.
Oh, cool. So what were some of the things the other farms grew? So you mentioned the East Coast, so
I worked for one organic farm that was just trees.
Okay.
So mainly avocados, but they did grow some citrus and a little bit of deciduous fruit. And the other farm I worked with was a market farm. So they really had the full spectrum of everything. They had hives, they had chickens, they had an orchard, they fit it all onto 5 acres, so it was a really small footprint, but a lot squeezed into one space. They were even growing microgreens and in everything, and then all the row crops to go with that. And my first farm was with, it was with Rodale, which is a publishing company, but mm-hmm. the publishing company basically is there to fund their organic farm. They paired up with a local hospital, which had six separate locations, and the hospital subsidized this organic farm. So it was farm to institution, which was really an interesting concept, especially now being at Cal Poly and the struggle with like how to ease what we're growing and sell it to campus dining, who it's infinitely easier for them to order through a big producer where it comes washed and shredded and you open up a bag of lettuce and put it on a salad bar. We had similar struggles with the hospitals for sure.
Yeah.
But it was a cool concept. The 300-acre farm was a lot more diverse. They mm-hmm. had animals, and I worked on a 10-acre, just vegetable, no trees, just row crops. But certainly what made it interesting was the concept of selling to hospitals.
Yeah, that's a really cool program.
Yeah.
So obviously you've been working in organic agriculture for a while in different parts of the country. So you've had probably, I would guess, some experience and time to think about, you know, what organic means to you. So what does it mean to you? I mean, what, if you think organic farm, what does that mean? What are the components?
I think if I think about it from a consumer standpoint, buying produce, I do think it's my preference for when I'm shopping in terms of like the mm-hmm. health of my family. And, you know, I would love to see it be the future of produce in general, become more mainstream. Mm-hmm. But I think about it in terms of crew, like being the person in the field, mm-hmm. it is just labor intensive is probably the term that I would come up with.
Yeah, I often remark to people, I mean, it doesn't take you very long to develop some very strong preferences on like types and even brands of hose for weeding. If you do any organic farming for very long, I very rapidly develop my favorites and can have long conversations about it with people. Mm-hmm. And of course, soil type and everything comes in. But yeah, labor, a lot of labor, a lot of weeding.
And I never understood a preference for, like, again, I came, especially my second farm was very diverse, so I never understood mm-hmm. a preference for one, like, one crop over another. But certainly working at an organic avocado farm, I was like, I don't need to do this.
Just avocados, like specializing in one crop.
And just weeding in, you know, especially with how canopy avocados can be. Just like, I lost so many pairs of sunglasses to those trees. So like ripped off the top of my head. So I was like, yeah, probably not avocados.
Yeah, broccoli's not going to pull sunglasses off your head.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, being I guess in a row, really good broccoli.
Neat vegetables laid out much easier.
Yeah, that's great. So what are, you know, so you've been with the farm for a while. You've been with the farm longer than I have been. What are some of the things that you would, if we're to keep growing and keep doing new things, what are some of the things you'd like to see the farm get into? What would you like it to see us maybe expand?
I think the farm is already expanding. I mean, especially in the last year, the connection between the research and using the fields more for research is not something we've done in the past. I mean, when I first got here, the organic farm was just this random, you know, there'd be like two kohlrabi plants growing over here on this side of the field, and then there'd be one row of romaine over here, and there was no layout, and we weren't growing any of it. We were just kind of growing what we wanted to grow it.
Yep.
And now there seems to be more of a vision, especially with the research coming in, and that we know we're going to have a huge bumper crop of cabbage or broccoli or, you know, but you know what's coming. Yep. And I think and I've said this to you and Kelly before, I think I would like to see the organic farm like with an identity. So our other two farms, the orchard and mm-hmm. the conventional row crop farm, both have crops that people locally love and depend on coming out and buy every year, and they have a reputation. I would love to see the Cal Poly farm develop something like that, mm-hmm. or even a partnership with a major hotel or restaurant in the area. Something that would give it a little bit more like identity locally, I guess. We've got the avocados and the citrus in the orchard, and we have the corn and the pumpkins coming out of the conventional field. So I'd like to see the organic farm have that as well.
That's a really great idea. So I've got to ask a follow-up then. I mean, so you mentioned cherry tomatoes earlier.
Yes.
Do you think there are a couple of crops that we could really
I think we're still figuring out what those are. I think the cherry tomatoes could be that, but there's also a labor component with the cherry tomatoes. Absolutely. Just picking those and keeping up with it. And the winter squash is really nice because it's easy to mm-hmm. get it out of the field and store it. So that's a good one. But I think we're still figuring it out. We haven't dedicated ourselves to one, trying to grow one crop and stick to it. We've kind of just been like, let's try this, which is part of figuring out like what's going to work. But Kelly and I've talked a couple of times. I mean, my favorite thing harvesting when I was doing crew was potatoes. Digging for potatoes was like the most fun thing I had ever done. So I've been trying to convince Kelly for a while to grow potatoes so we can host a public potato dig.
That's a really interesting idea.
Because I think digging in the dirt is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, that's awesome. Well, I know, as you mentioned, with some of the research we've got going, we are going to have a lot of cabbage, probably in late April, May. And then we'll probably have a lot of romaine next.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll give us some efforts. That'll give us some, you know, a chance to kind of look into that and see if the public... I don't know if, I mean, Cal Poly cabbage, I don't know. Maybe we did a value add. I've been joking about like sauerkraut, maybe some kimchi, something like that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we do well with our cabbage. Our romaine does very well.
Yeah.
They just don't necessarily have the following that some of the other crops do.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we've never had one product like that in organics, but we also haven't tried. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a great concept to think about as we move forward and to continue to play around with. Yeah, I think avocados and mandarins are both pretty. They have a lot of pizzazz to them. I'm not using quite the right word. I mean, they're identifiably kind of California, and they're very. Well, I mean, there's the whole like avocado toast thing, right? Of course, and sort of that conceptualization around them. I'm not sure we get that with cabbage, but maybe. But maybe there's something else. So that's
I mean, I think it's there. I think it's just figuring out, like, I do think that our winter squash is popular, but a lot of people grow winter squash. So it's hard to say if that would be the thing. But
food for thought.
Yeah. We'll keep planting and see what sticks.
So since we are primarily an educational institution, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you something about students. So I've got to ask you. So, and this is not, I'm not going to ask you about, you know, particular students or anything like that, but more if you were, you know, if on this platform that you have right now and you're perhaps talking to some Cal Poly students, what's, you know, one or two really good reasons to come and work here on the farm or with the farm?
I think the good reasons to come and work here are work experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of other farms are going to want you to have had some kind of experience before you come to them. It's not necessarily something we require. Better for the people who come to us to work well with others, be good at working on their own, unsupervised, than to actually come and say, yes, I know how to drive a tractor, I've used a weed eater, I think all of that can be taught, but I think there's no other farm in the area that you're going to be able to go and work on and get the experience with the flexibility of mm-hmm. hours and range of responsibilities that the students here get.
Well, we were just, I think, joking about this. I mean, one thing I'm always looking at is, you know, if an ag operation hires one of our students, one of the services we've really provided them is the opportunity to break our equipment before they go
yes.
and work for a, you know, a private
yes.
individual, because that's, you know, students learn by
yeah.
having fun and making mistakes, and that's how it works. So, well, that's great. Well, thank you so much. It's been really great chatting with you today, and it's been great getting to know you, and we're really grateful for everything you do for the team. You're a really important part of what we do, because in so many ways you provide the farm with its public face by organizing the marketing and being there with the students at the farmers markets. And yes, it's been a real pleasure.
Cool.
So thank you so much,
thanks,
Jill.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Organic Chat. This podcast is recorded on the Cal Poly campus. Production provided by our production engineer, Mary Nascimento.